A little disclaimer, I'm a horticulturalist and applied horticulturalist, and Dr. Jen Ruchen, who did this study, is a food scientist. So Dr. Chen is not able to be here. She's at another conference, so she asked me to present some of the data. What this project is focusing on is looking at the hygiene conditions of fresh market blueberry and looking at how different packing line processes impact the hygiene of fruit. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Fumi Takeda, who was involved in this research. So this project is part of the aforementioned SCRI led by Dr. Charlie Lee at the University of Georgia. And from 2015 to 2017, Dr. Chen's lab sampled fruit from six different packing lines and looked at two questions. So the first question was, which sites along the fresh blueberry packing line attract more microbial cells and encourage microbial buildup, therefore needing more attention in terms of sanitization treatments? And the second question her lab looked at was, does the packing and sorting process improve the microbial quality of fresh market blueberry? So we're going to focus on the first question. That's looking at the hygiene conditions of different packing lines. And so she evaluated six different packing lines in 2015 and 2017. In 2016, there was winter injury, and so no data could be collected from that year because a lot of the packing houses didn't have sufficient fruit to pack. So among the six packing lines, they visited five twice and one only on one occasion. And then for each visit, they looked at three different time points: at the beginning of the day, so before packing really commenced, at lunchtime, so noon, and then at the end of the day. And they sampled 10 different sites along the packing line. So they collected a total of 310 samples from these 10 sites. You can see the sites listed here, but I think what will be more useful, particularly if you're not familiar with packing lines, is this diagram right here. So the first site, S1, that I want to draw your attention to, this is the dumping area. So fruit's collected in lugs or harvest flats, and it's dumped into a hopper or a dumping area. So that was sampling site number one. The fruit is then conveyed using a conveyor belt. And so site number two that they sampled from was S2, and that's the top of the conveyor belt. They also sampled on the bottom of the conveyor belt, and that's site number three. Then the fruit, as it gets moved, there's a blower, and that's the little grid lines that you see there. And then there's the color and soft sorter, and that is site number four that they collected from. Then there's a manual sorting area where there's people standing on both sides as the fruit's being sorted. Their team sampled at the beginning of the sorting area and at the end of the sorting area, and that is site five and six, respectively. And then at site seven, that was the beginning of the transfer point to another conveyor belt, and then site eight was when the fruit is being loaded off into another lug before it gets moved to clamshell filling. In addition to those eight sites, they also looked at the disposal area. So as the fruit moves and there's a blower, undersized fruit, debris is moved off, and that's site number nine, that's the disposing area. And then they also harvested the berry lugs that the fruit are harvested in. So bear those in mind. Then their sampling methodology. So they utilized these sponges that were 10 by 10 centimeters, and they were moistened with this Diegli neutralizing broth. They used a swabbing force where they swabbed 10 times in the vertical direction and 10 times in the horizontal direction. And then they put that sponge back into this neutralizing broth and took it back to the lab at the University of Georgia at Griffin. And then they proceeded on with their microbial assessments. So they looked at various different types of microorganisms, and these are general microorganisms that indicate the hygiene conditions of the packing line, as well as potential concerns that there could be about sanitization. So they looked at total aerobic counts, they looked at yeast and molds, total coliforms, fecal coliforms, and enterococcus counts. And so you see the latter two, those are generally associated with warm-blooded animals or in human feces, so they could be concerned in terms of a food safety risk. But they weren't necessarily looking for E. coli. So again, these are indicator organisms about sanitation. So let's look at some of the data. So these are the overall mean of microbial counts at different sampling time points, and we're looking at total aerobes, yeast and molds, and total coliforms. And the trend here for total aerobes and yeast and molds is that as the packing day proceeded, microbial populations increase, which is something that we would kind of expect as the packing day commences. The one exception was total coliforms. It was around noon where they saw a significant increase in the total coliform counts. Now we're going to be looking at the total microbial counts on different surfaces along the packing line, and there's three areas highlighted in red where they saw a trend of having higher microbial counts in total aerobes, yeast and molds, and total coliforms. And that's the rubber belt on the color sorter, that's the berry disposing area, and then the berry lugs. And then the fecal coliforms and the enterococcus, these are indicator organisms of sanitation practices. They found a total of 22 and 17 positive enterococci at noon and in the evening. And then for coliforms, they found 10 both at noon and in the evening for those two organisms. And again, what these data show is that they're finding them in relatively low numbers, but these populations are building over time. They also looked at these organisms over at the different sampling time points, and we see the trend that I showed on a previous slide persisting, and it's the rubber belt on the color sorter and the berry disposing area where we're tending to see higher populations of these indicator organisms. So what does this all mean? Means that it gives us an idea of where sanitization practices really need to be focusing on. But let's just go over the general summary. So for total aerobic yeast and mold counts, they saw this trend where we saw populations build up throughout the packing day. So populations were higher in the evening on average relative to noon and then in the morning. For their mean total aerobic counts, they found a 1.78 log colony forming units per centimeter squared. I didn't present the individual plant data, but we have it here. So this is aggregated across sampling time points and days. So you can see in the parentheses there in green and then in red, those are the log colony forming per centimeter squared counts for the aggregate organisms that they collected from. And so what we're trying to do here with these data is just to kind of show how they meet up with different types of standards for microbial counts or populations. And so the first is for USDA meat processors, where they consider anything less than 5 colony forming units or 0.7 log colony forming units as clean. Dr. Chen and her lab feel like this is a difficult standard to maintain for surfaces that you would find on a packing line. They also looked at APHIS, and they found that they recommended less than 1.3 log colony forming units as, you know, where counts should be at. Again, that's pretty stringent, and according to Dr. Chen's team, they recommend looking at Belgi 2008 for unspecified surfaces, where they recommend 2 log colony forming units per centimeter squared as being the generally acceptable microbial unit. So with that in mind, they found 2 packing plants where that was higher than that 2 log colony forming units. So conclusions from this first question that they addressed was that microbial counts increased significantly on the surface of the packing lines as the day proceeded. There were a few sites like the rubber belt on the color sorting area, the premature berry dumping area, and then the berry lugs that are going to require more attention in terms of sanitization because that's where higher counts were found. There are a few recommendations also that came from this research. One was, you know, targeted areas where you need to be focusing on from a sanitation perspective, such as the lugs and then the disposing area. Also, just following standard sanitization practices to keep microbial counts low because they do find them increasing throughout the day. Also, her and her team observed that there was cracks along the surfaces of the packing line and that those should be evaluated and addressed because those cracks along the packing line could entrap microbial cells, making it easier for them to build up and more difficult to clean. All right, so let's focus on question 2, and that was looking at the microbial quality of berries and how they're impacted by the packing process. So for these data, they utilized the same 6 packing lines that I presented on in the first study, and they used the same schedule for visiting. And they visited and they sampled 3 times throughout the day, so at the beginning, middle part, and end of the day. And they collected 2 sets of samples for each time point, at the very beginning before the fruit got on the packing line and at the end of the packing line. And they collected a total of 124 samples. So the organisms that they sampled were the same one for the first experiment or the first project. So you can see total aerobic, total yeast and molds, total coliforms, fecal coliforms, and enterococcus counts. So this data shows the overall mean microbial counts of the berries at different sampling time points. Here the trend is a little bit different. So in the first question that they addressed, they saw populations build up over time. Here they did see a trend that around the noon sampling time point, they saw higher counts for the total aerobes as well as the total coliforms. They didn't see any differences in the total yeast and molds. One thing with these packing lines that they observed in Georgia, and we observe this also in the Northwest, is that oftentimes fruit is pre-cooled or kept in a cool facility, and so it isn't immediately moved on to the packing line. So there could be some fruit that was kept in cold storage overnight before it was packed in the morning, and that could confound some of the results here. So it's something that they're continuing to evaluate and look at. Then this is kind of really the key point of the question. How does packing influence the microbial quality of the fruit? So we're looking at packed and non-packed berries. And so what we see for total aerobes, yeast and molds, and total coliforms, that there was no impact that the packing process had on the microbial quality of these organisms. So conclusion of this part of the work was that sorting does not lead to any differences in the microbial counts. Packing doesn't reduce microbial counts, which is something that initially some people thought might happen as berries are getting sorted out through the sorting and packing process. Although Dr. Chen did want to point out that numerically speaking, there was a higher population of total aerobes, yeast, and molds on the unpacked versus the packed berries. And then also the recommendation that these are fruit products that have not been washed throughout the packing process. So I think this is her food scientist part coming through to make sure that the information is passed on to consumers that you're washing your berries before you consume them because they do contain microbial populations on them. So acknowledging some of the teammates for this work, so Dr. Charlie Lee, who was the lead investigator for the SCRI, Dr. Harold Sherm, Dr. Fumi Takeda at the University of Georgia and USDARS respectively, Ms. Renee Allen also with the University of Georgia, the six packing facilities that allow Dr. Chen and her lab to come in and collect these data, as well as the graduate students involved in the project and the laboratory helpers in Dr. Chen's lab. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Dr. Chen's email is also here because I wager I'm not a microbiologist or a food scientist. I might not be the best person to address them. But the work that I presented here has been published. These are the citations for both of the papers that summarize this work. So, yeah. Sure. So the question was, what is it about the sorting belt? So do you mean the manual sorting belt or the rubber sorting belt?
I assumed it was the mechanical sorting belt.
Okay, the mechanical sorting belt. So from what I've been told from the food specialist and food safety specialist, and Dr. Fumi might have a few more comments, but those are a little bit more porous, a little bit more prone to biofilm accumulation, making it much more difficult to sanitize and clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what Dr. Takeda added too is it's not a flat surface, so it's a little bit more difficult to clean given it's not rigid. Yeah, so the question was why more microorganisms or why more microbes on the fruit at noon? And so, you know, a lot of times these packing houses are refrigerated and they're kept at a set temperature. So I don't know if that's a really likely explanation that it's due to changing temperatures in the packing house. I think it's difficult to conclude why they're observing that because they didn't really separate, where the fruit was coming from because a lot of fruit, as it moves into the plant, it's pre-cooled and then it's brought on the packing line. And so there could be some fruit that was pre-cooled, left in storage overnight and then it was packed later on the next day. So the microbial composition of those fruit relative to fruit that was taken in pre-cooled that day and packed that day might be very different than what was kept overnight. So that could be a factor, but they really don't know for sure.
You have people taking lunch. They may not wash their hands. Well, it depends if they have the samples before, right?
Yeah. there's one more question. But I think Dr. Chen's team, they took the samples themselves using gloves. And many of the packing lines, at least that we visited, they all wear gloves too. So I think we don't have enough data to really know why they observe that.